I want us to turn to the first chapter of James. And we will read a few verses here. I believe I'll begin reading with about the 16th verse. Very good little admonition in the 16th verse. Do not err, my beloved brethren. It's good instruction. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's good instruction also. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I read from the 16th verse and continued through the 27th verse. The first chapter of James. There's a lot of good instruction through here that I have no thought of discussing. But there are a few thoughts that I do want to discuss. Verse 21 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now it is perfectly clear that the word of God is able to save anybody's soul, because that's been demonstrated. There's been many souls saved according to the word of God. I heard a man say, and that kind of struck me. He said, if anybody feels that they're too bad a sinner to be saved, just remember that the chief of sinners is already in. Paul said he was the chief of sinners, and he's already in. So that would leave it that no one is too bad to be saved. Jesus just came to save bad folks. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he didn't say what kind of sinners, that he would accept their repentance if they weren't too bad. And they didn't get too far off course. But it's his purpose to save everybody. Now don't go away and say I was a universalist and that I said everybody's going to be saved. I didn't say that. But it is God's will and purpose to save everybody. He wants everybody saved. Everybody isn't going to be saved. But he wants them saved. And the Word of God is able to save your soul. Paul said in the first chapter of Romans, about verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God's word is the power of God unto salvation. That's the greatest power there is a power to produce salvation. And not anything that'll beat that. Hydrogen bombs and nuclear weapons and all those kind of things, they're powerful, but they'll not beat that. This that I'm talking about would save people to where they wouldn't need hydrogen bombs and nuclear weapons and be preparing for war and destruction. They wouldn't need any of that if everybody just come to the Word and just take God's Word. It's the greatest power there is. Well, then why isn't everybody saved? The Word of God is to everybody. But there are some conditions that refer to our attitudes toward the Word here. It depends on our attitude toward the Word what benefit we're going to get out of it. We read in the fourth chapter of Hebrews where he said the Word preached did not profit them that heard it, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now these things that I mentioned, these weapons of warfare and destructive powers, they're composed of elements which, independent, alone, by themselves, are entirely inactive. They wouldn't move anything. Do anything. But when they're compounded under a certain formula, they produce explosive elements that are capable of vast destruction. Now the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God unto healing. It's the power of God unto the solution to your problems. It's the power of God for everything that you have need of in life. But just independent, alone by itself, it is entirely inactive. You can read this print just like you can read a newspaper. And that's about all it means to some folks. They read the Bible and it's just like reading a book to them. But you get that word mixed with faith under a proper formula, an active, definite, living, present faith that actually takes hold on God's word and produces works in you according to God's word. and it'll benefit your soul. It'll produce salvation. It will deliver you from the worst kind of sins there are. And from whatever life that you may be living that isn't the right kind of life. Our attitude toward the Word has a great deal to do with it. God said in the 66th chapter of Isaiah in verse 2, "But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembleth at my word." What kind of an attitude do we have toward the Word? Sometimes we find people. For instance, I held a series of meetings in a downtown mission once. I was invited there to preach, and I went and preached, and then they wanted me to hold them a week's meeting. At the end of the week, they wanted me to go another week, which I did. At the end of the second week, they wanted me to go longer, and I continued. Finally, or it wasn't finally, it wasn't at the last, but somewhere along in that series of meetings, the lady who was in charge got up and said, "Now, folks, we're hearing the truth. We're hearing God's word here. Now it's just up to us what we want to do with it." There's too many folks like that. Just what they want to do with it. And they receive it kind of like that. God's word isn't to be dealt with like that. We don't meet God's word on that grounds. But we meet God's word in an absolute sense. Truth isn't relative, ever. We're living in a relative age. And everything is relative to something else. And there's a graduated scale of what's bad and what's worse and what's the worst and so on down the line. Everything on a relative basis. Nothing absolute. But truth is absolute. God's word is an absolute something, and we should meet it that way. Just meet it head on, just what it is. Deal with it that way. Recognize that when I come face to face with God's word, I'm responsible for that. And I'm responsible for it just as it is presented to me. He that trembleth at my word. When we're reading God's word, when we're hearing God's word preached, when God's word is being dealt with in any kind of a form, or any kind of a way, we should be trembling in our souls, lest we would miss something, fail to get something that would help us to be what God is calling on us to be. Back to the fourth chapter of Hebrews again. About the first verse, he said, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of us should seem to come short of it." Did you hear what that said? When we come face to face with the promises of God, we should fear. Fear in all love and humility toward God that I might fail to receive that promise. That promise might not be fulfilled in me. That I might come short of something here. And the thing that we come short of might be the thing that would trip us up and be our ruination. Fear. Let us therefore fear. We handle God's word too lightly and we face up to it too lightly. And the fear of God is not upon our hearts as it should be many times. Let us therefore fear lest we'd seem to come short of the will of God in any respect. Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. The way we receive it, it's able to save our souls, but we miss it many times by the way we receive it. Receive it with meekness. Receive it with humility of heart, lowliness of mind. Receive it with a recognition in our hearts of our responsibility toward God according to His Word. Standing to be judged according to His Word. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. Now the Word of God doesn't just work under all conditions. It works under specific conditions. And our manner of receiving it depends on how it is going to work in us. Sometimes a congregation of people will hear the same message. It will work in some, but it won't work in others. It'll produce results, good results, with some people, no results with other people. It's their attitude, it's how they receive God's Word. It's the condition of their hearts. He instructs us here to get rid of the things out of our hearts and lives that hinder God's Word. God's Word comes to us sometimes and just hits a roadblock. There are things in people's lives and in people's hearts that hinder God's Word from having free course. In their souls. God's Word is able to meet their needs, but they have their own ideas about things. Somebody says to me sometimes, I just don't see it that way. Well now, if you can convince God that you ought to be excused because you don't see it that way, why, you just go at it. But I don't believe you're going to convince God of anything. God gives us His Word and expects us to open our hearts to it. He said, the entrance of Thy Word giveth light. And as we open our hearts, let God's Word get into our hearts and work its work there, it will enlighten us and instruct us and convict us and show us the way out of the trouble we're in. Show us what's hindering us from having the fullness of divine blessings in our lives. Peter says in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, and the 1st verse, wherefore, laying aside all malice. My father used to read this, malice. Says the worst kind of lice there were. malice. Laying aside all malice. Do you know what it does to your soul to entertain malice, hold a grudge, entertain an ill will toward anybody? Brother Creeble, down in Los Angeles, he's been dead a good many years now, but he used to tell the saints down in Los Angeles, he says, any kind of a bad feeling you get in your heart's going to hurt you. It'll damage you. Said the person that you have that hard feeling toward may not even know you have it. And it may not hurt them at all, but says it's going to hurt you. Says you get a bad feeling toward a dog ambling down the street. And it won't hurt that dog. He won't even know you have a bad feeling, but it'll hurt you. Any kind of a bad feeling, an unkind feeling that we have toward anybody is going to hinder the work of God's Word in our souls. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile. Guile is deceit. All deceit. Every kind of deceit. Whatever it is, lay it aside. Quit it. Deceit. Not just deceit, but all of it. Laying aside all malice and all deceit. God wants you and me open before Him and open before our fellow men. Just living wide open lives. He says all things are naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And we know that, don't we? Surely every one of us would know that. And there is nothing that is not manifest in His sight. We know that. But what God wants out of you and me is an attitude of heart that we don't want anything hidden from Him. We want everything right out in the open. We realize that everything is naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do, and that's just the way we want it. We like it that way. David prayed to unto God, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Try me and search me and see if there be any wicked way in me. And if you find any wicked way in me, lead me out of it. Don't just leave me there alone. Just lead me out of it. Lead me in the way everlasting. David was laying himself bare, just wide open. That's what God wants out of you and me. That's the kind of attitude He wants us to have. Toward Him and toward our brethren. That we would be wide open in our dealings with our brethren and wide open in our dealings toward Him. All guile and all hypocrisies. Acting in ways that you aren't. Putting on a front, so to speak. Folks, God wants you and me to put all that kind of thing away from us, that idea of putting on a front. That idea of acting like something that we're not. All hypocrisy. Not just some kinds of hypocrisy, but every kind, all kinds. All hypocrisy. And envies. Put that away. Envy. Envy's a bad thing. Envy caused Cain to kill his own brother, Abel. And ever since then, in God's sight, envy has been associated with murder. And whatever a person may have, or to whatever extent or whatever degree of envy that he may have, it's going to show itself sometime or other in some way or other. And when it shows itself, it does so with a tendency to slay somebody, cut somebody down, kill somebody's influence, hurt somebody. That's the way envy works. Pilate discerned that the Jews had delivered Jesus to him through envy. It was envy that killed Abel. It was envy that hanged Jesus on a cross. Put it away from us for our own safety. And all evil speakings. He says, lay that aside. Now this is all summing up to this. The Word of God just will not work in a life that has any of those kind of things in it. You don't have to have all of them, just any of them. Anything of that kind. Now, when you get rid of all these things, he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. Get rid of the things that stunt our growth, that hinder us in our development, that pull us back when we'd like to go forward and hold us down when we'd like to rise. Get rid of those things that rob us of our victory and yield ourselves wholeheartedly to the Word of God. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. In my text you will notice that he spoke of laying aside certain things before receiving the Word. If we try to receive the Word right in with all these other things, it just won't work. It won't save the soul. It won't bring blessings from God into our lives. It won't do anything for us if we try to receive the Word right in with these other things. But we're instructed first to lay aside these things. Put those out of our lives. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, we have some instruction given here. It says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. My father used to refer to an illustration like this in connection with this thought. He said, how would it be now for a man to come in from his shop, and maybe he's a mechanic and he's been working on automobiles and he's greasy and his clothes are dirty and got grease and oil on them, and he wants to go out somewhere for the evening, and so he just goes in and slips on a good suit of clothes over all that dirty apparel he has on. He said the way some folks arrange their righteousness and their religion is just about like that, just putting on a profession over a lot of those kind of things. And we're instructed here to put off before we put on. Now, if we take off those old greasy, dirty clothes and take a good bath and clean up good and then put on clean clothes from the skin out, just everything clean and fresh, we're fit to go out in company then, out in society. We'd be presentable. We'd be all right. But who of us would want to go to any kind of a gathering of people with a nice $200 suit of clothes on over a lot of other stuff? It's dirty. That isn't the way to dress, is it? That isn't the way to handle our religion either. That isn't the way to deal with God. He says, put off these things and put on the new man. Now he begins to tell what to put off. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Put that off. All kinds of lying. We don't suppose that there'd be any saints that would actually tell a lie, speak it out, but sometimes they'll act a lie. Put that off too. Putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Let him that stole steal no more. Quit that. Anything that you take that belongs to someone else and not to you, that's stealing. Just quit that kind of business. Let him that stole steal no more. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Put that away from you too. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Wherefore, laying aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word. When we get these things put away from us, we're ready to receive God's word then. And it'll work. It'll work right. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter, he's been telling them here to mortify their members, and he strikes at the gross sins, which surely none of us would have at all: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. But he says in verse 8 of the 3rd chapter of Colossians, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Don't try to put on the new man over the old man. That's the idea, see. But get rid of the old man and his works and his deeds, then put on the new man. Be clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now going back to James, the first chapter, wherefore laying apart all filthiness, getting rid of the things, clearing up the things out of our lives, receive with meekness, humility, lowliness, fear, trembling at the word of God, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now that's talking about something bad there, folks. That's really talking about something bad. Self-deception is about the worst thing I can think of. Sometimes people might be deceived by another innocently. But to deceive ourselves is such an uncalled for thing. So unnecessary. So useless. What's the benefit of it? But that's just what a person does when he hears God's word and doesn't do it. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I've always thought that murder was such a bad thing. Somebody just take a gun and point blank shoot a fellow man and destroy his life, take his life. I've always thought that is a bad thing. It is a bad thing. But sometimes people do that through panic, sometimes in self-defense, sometimes for different reasons, but for a man to just turn that gun on himself and shoot himself through the head, that's such an uncalled for thing. Couldn't be any good excuse for that. And for a man to deceive himself, that's in the same category. Such an unnecessary and uncalled for thing, but that's just what happens when people set light by the word of God they hear or read, or that reaches them through any channel or by any means, and to set light by it. For if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Have you ever had any experience like that? Look in the mirror and go your way, and pretty soon you have to go look back in it again. You forgot whether everything was all right or not. Straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. That's what happens to people who hear God's word and don't do it. They just go on their merry way, and it isn't very long till they forget that God showed them something. And then they just go on raising their hand and singing, "I'm on the road to glory, praise the Lord," and shouting the praises of the Lord, and forgot all the time back there God showed them something. The Word found them. The Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word showed them up. They saw where they were short, but they didn't measure up right then. And after a while, they forgot that they needed to measure up. And they feel everything's all right. They've deceived themselves. Passed up their opportunity to improve themselves. And instead of improving themselves, they have done themselves hurt, and they wind up in a worse condition than they were. Go this way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and all folks, let me tell you, as you and I run this race, as we fight this fight, as we live this life, as we pursue this course, we should look often in God's Word. We should go often to the book to chart our course in the right way. Stay in the right channel. Keep ourselves in the will of God. Looking into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. He being not a forgetful hearer of the word, but a doer of the work. That man shall be blessed in his deed. It isn't difficult to tell when folks are walking back a light. Many times, I said a while ago that truth was absolute, it wasn't relative. And that's true, but the only relative thing there is about it is the degree of light that people have concerning it. Now, in that, there might be relativity and diversity enter into it. And one person might be doing things that another person couldn't do. Because of the lack of light or of the variation in the degree of light between those two individuals. That's the only relativity there is about truth, and that isn't about truth, but that's in the people. And they relate to it according to the light and knowledge and understanding that they have. But now he's admonishing you and me to continue therein. Look in the perfect law of liberty and continue therein. Stay right on course. Guide ourselves by God's word. Go often to the book to discern and determine whether or not our actions are right or wrong. And make adjustment in our course according to what we discern out of God's Word. That man that continues in the perfect law of liberty, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Amen.